It's 8:03 and welcome to the Mornings with Ed show on an absolutely beautiful Wednesday morning. As you know, during the 7 and 8 o'clock hour, we take a much more focused examination of all the critical issues regarding the virus, health and safety, and also economically. And to help us sift through the economics of this thing, and it is a lot to sift through, WealthWise Financial's founder and president, Laureen Gilbert, is with us this morning. Thank you for being with us
good
today,
morning.
Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Wonderful.
Good, good. Thank you for being here again. Again, just it seems like a month's worth of things have happened in just 7 days. My goodness.
A lot's going on every day, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we heard from you last Wednesday, and then less than 36 hours later, we got another bad unemployment report of another 3.5 million. Now, Goldman Sachs is predicting the unemployment rate to be at 25%, rivaling the Great Depression.
So they had originally come out. It's interesting to see how all the large firms have been changing their estimates. So Goldman Sachs originally came out and said 15% unemployment, which, of course, we're there now. Right. And now they've revised it to 25%. And I think that that's possible, definitely possible. I think realistically, we're going to get to 20%. Okay. So my number is around 20.
Okay. So you think we'll plateau right around the 20%. And then if it's 25%, we would probably be looking at about a decade to get back to the jobless rate of the pre-crisis levels. Is that what we'd be looking at?
It takes a long time to work its way through the system to get unemployment down. Definitely, if you're looking at, 2% decline every year, that could take a long time to work through the system. And that also is why I've been saying all along that we're in for a long haul on the recovery, that it's going to take a while. Now, the hope is that a big part of this number, whatever it ends up being, 20-25%, is a temporary number, and that a big chunk of that were furloughed employees. And that's the big question still. How much of that number is furloughed employees where we can bring down our unemployment rate back to, let's say, 10%? And 10% is where we were during the Great Recession, and then we started working our way through that number. So our hope is that, like I said, a big chunk will be furloughed, come back to work, and then we work through the unemployment number.
Okay. Now, I read yesterday that the number of permanently lost jobs may be as high as 40%. Would that be an astronomically high number? Is that too high an estimate?
No, not at all. Wow. So if we, once again, if we got to 20 and we could get rid of half of that, 50% of it, we'd be back down to 10.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah.
Now, at the same time, Goldman upgraded its GDP forecast. They predicted a somewhat more V-shaped path. Now they're expecting an annualized growth of 29% in the third quarter. So they're still confident about the third quarter.
They are, but they also said that for the year, 6.5% decline. So their overall estimate for the year was a negative 6.5% GDP. Okay. So, that's still a very large number. So wherever it ends up coming out, third quarter, fourth quarter, the reality is we're looking at a very bad number for 2020 on the annualized GDP number.
Right. Now, Congress is currently trying to work on another $3 trillion package that may include up to $6,000 for families. And we don't have a distribution breakdown of that yet. But what can you tell us about that?
What I can tell you is that it's a House-led initiative by the Democrats. So as you would expect, it has all the things that the Democrats were looking to get passed and haven't been able to get passed yet. A lot of it goes towards municipalities. And unfortunately, in this first round of their bill, they have no delineation on what that money would need to be used for. For municipalities. So there's absolutely no way that that's going to pass. In the current form that it is, it's just not going to pass the Senate. So what's going to happen is they're going to have to come back, and the two sides, once again, have to get together and figure out what can work. But, you know, as I looked through the proposal, you know, it gives more money to individuals. It gives monies to municipalities. It expands unemployment benefits through January. Right. And I will tell you, at this point where we are so far, all of the stimulus has been emergency money, right? Get it out to individuals, get it out to business owners. We've got to do something fast.
Right.
At this point, there needs to be more strategic thought in a long-term solution. Because once again, we're in it for the long run. What are going to be the measures that need to be taken from here that get us to recovery,
right,
not just emergency relief, but how do we actually get out of this mess? And unfortunately, I'm still not seeing the stimulus. What I would like to see at this point is an infrastructure package, because an infrastructure package is a long-term benefit to America to take care of what we needed to take care of for a long time. It puts money to the economy, and it gives people jobs.
Right.
And it's something that actually both sides can agree on, but it's not being proposed. And unfortunately, the reality is no one is going to tackle it until after the election.
Well, with that said, would you agree to maybe a bottoms up type of approach? Because what do you say to the single mom who can't pay her rent in November? You know, so again, I know that what we're doing is a stimulus package, and eventually, yes, you burn through all your money. I can't imagine that we could sustain this level of spending that we're doing right now forever. But let's just say that, you know, a single mom in November, whatever, is looking to pay the rent. Well, she would need some kind of stimulus, and wouldn't she?
Well, so, you know, you can always point out, you know, let's say an individual.
Right.
What we really need, Ed, is demand. With demand back in place, then people have jobs.
Right.
With no demand, in other words, if everybody stays at home and nobody does anything and we're not productive, there are no jobs, there's no demand.
Right.
We've got to have demand and supply back where it was. So, you know, and once again, don't forget, we're a consumer-led economy. So we have to have people employed so, of course, they can spend.
Right.
But back to getting them employed has to do with demand. We've got to get people back to work and back to where there is demand in our economy. And then that single mom you're talking about will have an opportunity for a job.
Okay. And there are some things that I say, and here in Orange County, I want to just specifically speak to Orange County, that before going into a phase two, what's required is no COVID-19 deaths in the past 14 days, a minimum of 1.5 tests per 100,000 residents that have to be conducted daily, and at least 15 contact tracers per 100,000 residents. None of that is happening. So Orange County itself is not ready for a phase two opening, according to what the governor has demanded. I'm seeing indicators. And again, we don't know when we'll reach those numbers or be able to reach those goals. But I see things that should be great. Hourly wages having gone up 4.7% last month, consumer prices declining by about 1%, and credit card debt that fell by the largest number in more than 30 years. Now, all that sounds good. Why isn't it good?
Well, the numbers that you're talking about, of course, are lagging indicators. They're not the leading indicators looking forward. They're lagging indicators looking back.
Okay.
And what I'll say is, what happens when people are concerned about the economy, i.e. going into a recession like we are now, you're going to see people paying down debt more, and you're going to see savings rates increase. Now, that's very good for a household. And I'm all in favor of that at the household level.
Right.
At the economic level, moving forward, we actually need people to spend more. So, you know, it's somewhat conflicting as far as what we need for the economy and what might be good for households. But I would say to the household, to individuals, this is definitely a time to get your house finances in order. This is a time to make sure that you have lots of cash on hand, that you're paying down debt, that you're not burdened, because, you know, nothing's worse, really, except the two worst things for stressors would be, you know, your health,
right,
your physical health, and then your financial health. And if your financial health is a big stressor, or it can keep you calm. So if you're doing all the right things and you're lowering your debt and you're increasing your savings, that will be good to keep people calm in the midst of all of the bad numbers that we're seeing that are going to be the leading indicators.
Right, right. Now, food and rent prices have soared, the largest increase since 1974. Eggs are up like 16%, some astronaut. And clothes and cars and airfare, of course, all of those prices are dropping. Is deflation the opposite of inflation? Now, that's not a good thing, right?
Well, you know, what we're seeing is, like you mentioned, so meat, and we've been talking about this, so a huge soar in meat prices and, like you said, egg prices. But if you take out that volatile part of the inflation numbers, we actually have very low inflation right now.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it's stable. So if you know, you're asking the question, am I worried about inflation today? I'm not worried about inflation today. Right. However, I do think coming out of this, as eventually interest rates start to go up, we will probably see inflation also going up, but not now.
Okay.
So for the most part, the baseline for inflation is very low. And yes, is there a risk for deflationary pressures? There always is that risk during a time of recession.
Right.
We faced that in the Great Recession as well, the concerns about that. But that's where monetary policy is critical, because the mandate of the Fed is to manage inflation.
Okay. And as we get out of this, when we recover, do you also see higher taxes substantially across the board? And no matter who sits in the White House, is that would be probably the way to, you know, again, help buttress some of the money that we're burning right now?
I would say that absolutely we all need to be thinking about the longer term, that right now we're in a low tax environment at the federal level, not at the state. Of course, we live in a state in California that has one of the highest tax levels, but at the federal level, we're at a very low, historically low tax rate. Longer term, to pay for all of the stimulus that is going into the economy today, we will have to pay it back in some way. And I do believe it's going to be in the form of taxes. Now, there's all different kinds of taxes that could be implemented. You know, right now there's talk about payroll taxes decreasing. Republicans would like to see payroll taxes decrease. So that's a tax. But then, you know, you also have your income tax, and, you know, they could always implement other taxes like in Europe. So far, we've been able to avoid a value-added tax, but, you know, eventually we're going to have taxes. Yes, right. I think that all of this means higher taxes in the future.
We're adding a tremendous amount of money to our debt. It would seem that, yeah, that's one way of at least helping that incline. If we have two more quarters, and I know that Goldman is predicting a good third quarter, but my question to you is, what if we don't have a good third quarter? What if we have two more quarters? We know the second quarter is going to be bad. What if we also have a bad third quarter?
Well, what do you mean for individuals? What does it mean for our economy? Our economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just generally from the, let's trickle it down then. What does it mean for everybody in the economy?
Yeah, I think that we need to be prepared for either scenario, because we don't know. No one knows. No one knows right now what the third quarter holds. A lot of that depends on the states and how quickly or slowly states get back to work. Like you mentioned, California, I think, is going to take longer. We heard what LA County is saying, right, that they're going to be shut down through July. So if we see more of that, it absolutely will impact the third quarter. So given that, you know, I kind of go back to the basics for the individuals. For the basics, be ready for this to be a longer term scenario. Okay. So you know, if you're employed, you know, so these are the times that if you're employed, you stay where you are. If you feel like your job is secure, you stay and not take a risk with a new employer that you may not know or may not know you. So for, you know, when you're thinking about employment, kind of stick where you are most likely. And if you're unemployed, it's going to be being creative on figuring out what's next. Now, with unemployment being expanded, I will also say, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are not motivated to go back to work. And that's another structural issue that we need to avoid. And that's why, while I agree with what's been done so far with unemployment, we need to be careful extending it too long, because I would like to see that third quarter us being back at work and being productive and getting those numbers up.
Right. You make great sense. I love the fact that you're here for that reason right there. If I had to pinpoint one reason right there, it was that explanation right there. My it's going to take me a second to unwind this, but we live where, before the virus, we were in essentially a one-world economy. We had a lot of trading partners, and we were helping a lot of emerging nations. And we are in a position, our government's in a position where we can essentially do what we're doing now. We can print money for the sake of a better term. How will emerging markets who can't print their own money right now, once they start submerging, how will their submerging markets affect our recovery?
Well, you bring up a good point, a couple good points I'd like to address. So, yes, we're in a global economy, and right now we're seeing the detriment to a global economy. There's certainly benefits to a global economy, but we are also experiencing now the detriment to a global economy. One, just in the way that this, you know, spread as far as the virus is concerned, but similarly, the way that the economic upheaval has spread across the globe. And emerging markets very well are going to be hurt by this. Having said, so a couple of things I'd be concerned about as far as an investment theme is concerned.
Okay.
Coming into the year, we were very pro emerging market debt. It was in a great position to do well this year. We got out of that. We are no longer in emerging market debt. And I think the emerging market debt has more to worry about than emerging market equity does, stock. So I would be cautious as an investor and look at that, because I think that area very well could be hurt dramatically. So now I will also say that when we start to come out of this, and once again, when we have demand again, emerging markets can also benefit from that. So I would say to, when you're looking at investing, you have to look at, you know, what are the forward opportunities that are going to be there? And obviously look at all of the risks and the uncertainty that we're in now. But at some point, we need to move forward with some of those risks and say, okay, at what point do we want to start putting money there or increasing money there?
Right.
And remember, I've said this before, but the markets will always be forward-looking. So yes, I do think that the emerging markets are going to go through a very rough period of time, and then they will come out of it. And then I see a very good opportunity there for the long haul.
Okay. All right. For us as a country, is a digital economy, is that the future for us?
It is, and I think that's a great theme to be thinking about when people are looking at how to invest and who are going to be the winners, which companies are going to do well going forward. And I think that's one of the reasons that technology as a sector has done so well in the midst of this pandemic, is that technology is the future. A digital economy is the future. And so as you're thinking about themes for investing, certainly thinking through what does that mean for us in the future, which companies are going to do well in that, would be a good way of thinking.
Okay. Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial, the founder and president. And I'm not even kidding, and I tell you, I can't thank you enough for being here to explain these economic things. We gave you a little homework last week. I asked you a question about how the Fed was able to buy junk bonds by using BlackRock.
Yes.
Were you able to find that answer out for us?
Absolutely. And once again, they haven't started that. However, yesterday they started. It was unprecedented, so I'm so glad you asked about that. And so they are using ETFs. And they're buying it, you know, secondary market. and they're using their corporate credit facility in order to do that. And they are, in fact, buying indexes. Now, that caused the corporate bond indexes to surge yesterday.
Right.
And they have not yet started on the high yield debt. Part of those corporate purchases, just because they were in an index, may have bought some high yield debt. But they are talking about that they have the ability to do it. It would be the same kind of thing. It would be through ETFs. Most likely BlackRock iShares ETF, but you know, we don't really know exactly which one they're going to use, but that's a widely used one, so most probably that's it. So they are, in fact, putting a backstop on corporate debt right now, and they've alluded to that they may do it for high-yield debt, and they may do it for municipal debt as well.
Answering every question I have. My goodness. Thank you so much for checking that out for me, Laureen.
Absolutely.
WealthWise Financial is here in Orange County in Irvine. And how do we find you online if we're looking for you?
Look for me at wealthwisefinancial.com, or you can call us at 949-748-1177.
Laureen, thanks for stopping in this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well. Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial.